Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's Wednesday night, and it's time for Wednesday night inspirational Bible study, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. As always, it's a privilege, it's an honor to be able to come to you with a word from the Lord. You know, it's never predicated on us, but what God has in store for his people. So I ask as we get into the study that you be prayerful, that the Holy Ghost can have his way, that the people will be edified, Lord God will be glorified, and Satan will be horrified. Tonight, our lesson is going to come from the book of John. And I hope and I pray that each and every one of you had a chance to read the scriptures and to ponder over them and maybe ask yourself, what is God saying to his people? Why was it necessary for these particular verses to be included in the Bible? And then you can get a better perspective and see things clearly. But our lesson, like I said, is coming from the book of John, the 1st through the 34th verse. And the title of the lesson is, God uses our stories for his glory. If you believe that, you can make it through the day, realizing that God is in control and everything he do is for a reason. And if you trust him and you be prayerful with him, he's going to work it all out together for your good. So before we get started, we have to go to the throne of grace, that God will be with us in this Bible study, and the Holy Ghost will instruct our mind, open up our ears, and get our hearts ready to receive what thus said the Lord. So if anyone would like to pray, you may press the one button on your phone. Madison is not with me tonight. He was with me earlier, but he went on a play date. So if no one would like to pray, I'm going to go ahead to the throne of grace. I'm going to come back and play a song that I think is so appropriate for this lesson. And then we're going to explore the word of God together. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is one more time, you allowing us to come together. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, and I thank you, dear God, for each person that take time week after week out of their busy schedule to come so we could explore the word of God together. Heavenly Father, I pray that this word don't return void and that the Holy Ghost give illumination and revelation. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for your people. And I ask that you find favor in each and every one of their lives. Heavenly Father, some will be in the need of this and others is in the need of that. But, dear God, you know. And you say if we touch and agree that you'll be in the midst. And I'm asking that you bless each and every person, dear God. Bless their families, bless their home, bless their health, bless their finances, dear God. Let them increase in their faith, dear God. And let them decide to be sold out for you. Lord, give them the commitment that is necessary for them to do the things that you have assigned for them to do. Heavenly Father, just be with them and guide them and protect them as you promised to do. Heavenly Father, you're the author and the finisher of our faith, and you are there to protect us. But, Lord, we have to realize it, and we have to lean and depend on you. Lord, we can't make it without by ourselves. And that's why everything we do, we call upon the name of Jesus. There's no other name where anything can be done besides the name of Jesus. Because you told us that to get to you, we have to go through your Son. And that's why we're saying Jesus. Heavenly Father, I ask that you anoint the word as it goes forward. Heavenly Father, circumcise the hearts of the people that they could receive what is being said. Lord, and I'm going to be careful to give you praise, honor, and glory because you're worthy. You're worthy, dear God. You've been so good to us, dear God, better than we could be to ourselves. And you keep on blessing us, even in our weakness. You keep on providing for us, even when we're not paying attention. Lord, you're keeping us from dangers that we could see. But, Lord, let us realize how much danger is floating all around us that you snatch us out of that we don't even know. That's a powerful God. And tonight I want to say thank you. I want to say glory be to your holy name. And, Lord, I want to thank you for every story and testimony that you allowed in my life. Because you see, the story is what gives you glory. And I thank you, dear God. I trust you because I know you know best. Be with us, guide us, and protect us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And thank God. So, hallelujah. The prayer is going forward, which the Bible tells us in all things through prayer and supplication, make your request be known unto God. Don't wait till it's too late. Go to God first so that he can work it out together for your good. That's what he want to do. God wants to hear from you. That's one of the reasons he allowed his Son to be crucified, buried, and then raised so that the relationship and the one-on-one that we could have, the fellowship with God, we could experience it. Because before God stepped, sin had separated us. And God allowed this to happen because it was his desire to have fellowship with his people. I'm going to go ahead and play the song right now. And once it's over, we're going to get right into the lesson. Be prayerful and be blessed.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
You don't know my story.
You don't know
the things.
You don't know the things that I come through.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
Pain, the trial.
The pain, the trial.
At my lowest,
I'm
about God, because even though I'm not perfect,
He would never leave me.
My story
proves that God can
and my deliverance.
And
what I want to share is my testimony.
You don't know.
Somebody needs to know my story.
It would blow your mind.
Can I get a witness?
You don't know
my story.
My story.
And it's through my testimony.
You Don't Know My Story was the title of the song, and some more callers has called in. So I want you to know that our topic tonight is God uses our stories for His glory. We're coming from the book of John, the 9th chapter, the 1 through the 34th verse. As always, I give background, and John is the author of the gospel according to John. He also wrote the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and was allowed to pen the book of Revelation as Jesus instructed him what to write. John's father was called Zebedee's, and John had a brother called James, who became also one of Jesus' disciples. his family fished in the Lake of Galilee. Jesus called John and James the sons of thunder. You know, thunder is a loud noise that we hear during a storm. They was boisterous, loud. And, you know, God, Jesus decided he could use them. Jesus called them the sons of thunder. Perhaps he gave them this name because they became angry quickly. For example, they wanted God to destroy a village in Samaria. This was because the people there did not want to hear and accept Jesus, and they wouldn't allow him to enter their village. How you like that? So they wanted Jesus to destroy them. But as always, you know, when Peter cut the man's ear off and Jesus picked it up and put it back. Because, you see, we don't understand all that God is doing and want to do. So that's how they felt and they voiced it. But little did they know, Jesus had a master plan. Simon Peter was their partner in the business. So we see tonight that John, Peter, and James was partners in the business. And, you know, they called a special group of Jesus' friends. They would always say John, Peter, and James. They were the only disciples when Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from death. On another occasion, Jesus took Simon, Peter, James, and John up the mountain. There they saw him as he talked with Moses and Elijah. That's the configuration that when you hear in the Bible, when Jesus went on a mountain and he let them see him talking to Moses and Elijah. That was powerful, huh? They heard God's voice. They literally heard the voice of God. God told them that Jesus was his son, and that they must listen to him. So John knew Jesus very well. So the purpose of John's gospel, he wanted the readers to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. You know, John also emphasized that Jesus was human. John recorded that Jesus was tired. He also recorded that Jesus needed food. Jesus was very sad when his friend Lazarus died, and at that time, Jesus even cried, just like humans. On other occasions, Jesus became angry with the people who did business in a temple. Jesus had emotions just like us. And the Bible tells us it's all right to be angry, but sin not. And John also recorded that Jesus was thirsty. Hallelujah. John wanted us to know that Jesus was not half human and half God. He was completely human and completely God. John emphasized this for a particular reason. You see, in the early church, some people were teaching false beliefs about Jesus. One group taught that Jesus was not really God. They said that he was just a man. And then another group taught that Jesus was not really a man. And people still say that today when they don't believe or understand the Trinity. They say Jesus is God's son, not God, and his nature as the son. And this was way in Jesus' time, before Jesus died, and that was the beliefs, and it's still some people's beliefs today. They said that he was just a man. Other groups said that he was just God. Some said he didn't have a physical body. They believed that he was a spirit, and they believed that he only seemed to be human. Both these groups were wrong. John and the other disciples had lived with Jesus for about 3 years. John knew that Jesus was a real man. Also, John had seen the miracles that Jesus did. John watched Jesus die on the cross. And John had also seen Jesus after he became alive again. Hallelujah. John knew that Jesus had defeated death. And John had seen Jesus rise up to heaven. So John knew that Jesus was a real man, but Jesus was and is also God's son. John wrote his gospel to prove this. He did not focus on what Jesus did as some of the other gospels, the miracles, the sayings, the this, the you know, all of these things. John focused on telling us who Jesus was, not necessarily what Jesus did. Because if you look at John 1 and 1, it starts off with saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And he did not, like I said, focus on what Jesus did, but who he truly was, the incarnated God wrapped in flesh. That's our background for the night, and we're going into the scriptures. I'm going to read John, the 9th chapter, the 1st through the 5th verse. And it says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was from his birth, blind from his birth. And the disciples asked him, saying, Masters, who, watch this, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifested in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, the night coming when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Now, you see, it was a common belief in the Jewish culture was that calamities and suffering was a result of some great sin. You know, they thought, when, you know, something was wrong with you, it was crippled, you was blind, you know, sin happened, blah, blah. And if it wasn't you, it was your parents. They believed that in the Jewish culture. But Jesus used this man's suffering to teach about faith and to glorify God. We live in a fallen world where good behavior is not always rewarded and bad behavior is not always punished. Therefore, innocent people sometimes suffer. And I could tell you one of the things that you could relate to, and, you know, it's always going back to Katrina because that was something that had never happened before. And, you know, everybody who house got wet was evil, and not everybody house that stayed dry was a Christian. But things happen. You know, some things just happen. If God took away suffering, whenever we ask, we would only follow him for comfort and convenience, not out of love and devotion. There is always a reason for your season. Come on now. Whatever you're going through, trust me, God have a master plan, and he formed it before the foundation of the world. Nothing that can, will, or has happened to you, God is unaware of. And even through it all, he said, if you love me, I'm going to work it out together for your good. Many times Satan set us up for failure, and God take that same thing, make it a story, and he get the glory. Hallelujah. And, you know, we always have to say, no matter what's going on, not our will, but the will of the Father. And you have to know that everything that God created was for his glory. You see, after they asked Jesus about the man, you know, sin, or did his parents sin? Let's think about that. First of all, you know, if the man was blind at birth, he hadn't committed no sin unless he would have did it in a womb. And then they say the sins of the parents. Jesus says it's not about that. It's about God allowing him to be blind from birth and then coming back, but right now when he did that time, to use that to teach faith and to give him glory. You see, Jesus shifts the focus, and instead of addressing a man's blindness, he speaks of his purpose. He said, so that the work of the Father might be displayed in his life. We should not be concerned with the assigning blame. First thing people do want to say blame. Who did this? She did that. Well, you remember when she did that or he did that? It's just coming back. You don't know how God operated things, because you know there's still some things with the reaping and sowing theology that you have things in your life that you ain't paid for yet, or you didn't pay it back like you gave it out. So you can't decide and assign blame. You see, trying to figure out the source of suffering in an individual life is futile, given our limited understandings. You see, we ought to know that from reading the book of Job and what it teaches us. When it was all said and done, it was only a test. God allowed it for his glory. You see, after Satan did everything he could do, God turned it around and Job got double for his trouble. You see, it's never what you're going through, but who you go through it with. Jesus has the power to help us deal with anything and everything that comes into our life. You see, Joseph was sold into Egypt as a slave. God let his brothers put him in a pit and let him be sold, let him be a slave. He went to jail. They lied on him. And then God raised him up to be second in command to save the people. See, God has a purpose for your stories, which is also your testimonies. But, you got to wait until the appointed time where God will let it be manifest the why. And some things you'll never know. You see, God allowed the Hebrew boys to enter the fiery furnace only to deliver them from the fire. And then their story, even today, is being used for his glory. When you suffer from a disease, a tragedy, or disabilities, try not to ask why this happened to me. Or then some people, I have people tell me all the time, well, I know why this happened because I did thus and so. I know why this happened because a long time ago I did this. They go into that. But you shouldn't ask why this happened to me. And I tell people when they ask me that, if not you, then who? And then what did I do or did not do that caused this? But instead, you should ask God to give you the strength for the trial and give you a clear perspective on what's going on. You know, every time I come through a trial, a tribulation, adversities, or a setback, or a set down, I say, God, through it, when I'm going through it, I say, God, what you want me to learn from this? Teach me, God, through these trials or these sufferings. Let me know. And you see, that's people ask me all the time, how can you increase your faith? When you're in a trial or a tribulation or suffering, a disease or a tragedy, and God bring you through, that lets you know that he's able, willing, and he can fix it for you. And then that's how you know when the next thing come on, you walk in bold in faith, because if he did it that time, he could do it again. You see, this man or his parents had no control of how he was born. None of us have no control how we were born. But we see here God had a reason and is now manifested in that season his story for God's glory. There is no such cause and effect here. You know, this causes, so that's the effect. That's not, cause and effect is not going to always be in your life. You know, you could be doing everything right and get hit by a car. So everything is not cause and effects, but you got to realize that when you're going through or going to, because our ways is not God's ways, and we can't comprehend his thinking. We can't even get in a ballpark with God's mind, but you got to just trust him. You see, look instead for what God can do. This is what God wants us to do in every situation of our lives. Trust him, because he knows what's best. There is a sense in which every aspect of our lives can be used for God's glory. You see, he uses our life experience. You know how people say they had a bad childhood? Or they was molested, or, you know, they didn't have enough food to eat when they was young, or, you know, they couldn't get a job, whatever. He uses the life experiences. He used your failures. He uses your successes. He used your shortcomings and suffering. And he used it all for an occasion when the manifestation of God's glory and his purpose could be known. You see, those scriptures really describe four types of suffering. Yeah, it has four types of suffering that it discusses, viewed in terms of causes or purposes. Sometimes it's a cause and sometimes it's a purpose. You see, first, suffering as the proving or testing of your faith. God used, give you a little bit. He pump up the volume on a little bit to see how you're going to stand up. Come on now. Second, some suffering is meant for your improving and making us mature. We can't become strong until we sometime be in a battle. Hallelujah. And he also used it for your edification. Third, suffering can come as punishment for sin. Yeah, you do some things that'll cause you to suffer. You know, when you have to ask yourself what part I played in it, and you kept doing it your way and you got what you got. You see, in fourth, suffering, some suffering shows that, some suffering that shows forth God's glory. You know, some suffering he allowed for his glory. As here in the story, come on now, the man was blind from birth, but God was going to use that when Jesus was with his disciples and they saw the man, he was going to use it to teach him and God was going to get the glory. And then later on, we see God's, you know, getting the glory from the story with Lazarus. To these, if you want, you could add a fifth form of suffering, which comes from bearing witness to Christ. And this is also illustrated in this story, because if you read all of the verses, you see when they couldn't get the man to change his mind, they put him out of the synagogue. How you like that? Now we're going to read verses 6 through 11, and it reads as follows. When he had thus spoke, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittles. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind said, is not this he that sat and bathed? Some said, this is he. Watch this. Others said, he is like him. No, it ain't him. That's somebody that looked like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore they said unto him, how were thy eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received sight. Jesus often healed people by speaking his words, but here tonight we see he spat and made clay. And why do you think he made clay? Because it's the original material God formed Adam's body from the dust, straight demonstrating that he's aware of everything that he created. You know, in a pool of Siloam, it was an underground tunnel that led to the pool. And it was underground because there was always wars and things going on. And you see, the pool of Siloam was an underground tunnel that the people used without the fear of being attacked. And that's when Jesus sent them to the pool of Siloam. So I took a little time to tell you something about Siloam. It's amazing that even though some people saw with their own eyes, yet they didn't believe. They say it is not the beggar, but someone who looks like the man, and the man had to tell him it is I. You see, people sometimes can't see the forest for the trees. The things that God is working out in your life, people may hate and not congratulate. So don't be discouraged with that, because the Bible says never get weary with doing good. You keep doing what your assignment tells you to do, your commitment to God, and he will see you through. Man will let you down every time, and if you do everything right, some people are going to still think you ain't did nothing. You see, God does not allow everything to enter our lives that are not able to give him glory by drawing us into deeper intimacy with him and revealing his glory. You see, your story should give you the evidence of God's power. Come on now. Everybody got a story, and most of us have many stories. You could just sit back and think about your stories, and you could think about you came through, because if you're on the phone tonight listening, you came through a lot of things because you're still here. And you could look back over your life and think things over, and you could truly say that you were blessed and you have a testimony. Hallelujah. You know, because if God did it then, he could do it again. Not just your story, but the stories of others. If he did it for them, he could do it for you. Because God is no respecter person. We're going to read 11, verses 12 through 17, and it reads as follows. Then say they unto him, where is he? This was the people asking, where was the man that healed them? And he said, I know not. Then they wasn't satisfied. They went and got the Pharisees. They brought to the Pharisees him, for a far time was blind. They went and brought him and made him go to the Pharisees. And it was on a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened the eyes. So you know that's a no-no back then with the law. Then again, the Pharisees also asked how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay upon my eyes, I wash and do see. Therefore, they said, some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he didn't keep the Sabbath. You know how so many times people want to hold you down in life because you did A, B, and C, and they think you should have did E, F, and G. A, B, and C make you more holy than E, F, and G. You know, they're making the rules up, but God say use common sense. God said, if a man, animal go in a ditch and it's on a Sabbath, do you let the animal stay there and die? Do you take him up? One time, Jesus and his disciples was walking in a field and they was hungry. And on a Sabbath, you didn't pick a pluck. And Jesus allowed them to eat, and the Pharisees saw it, and they was building a case against Jesus, and they was calling his sin. Now, would it be better for the disciples to die of hunger or to pick and eat on a Sabbath? You figure it out. God wants us to use common sense, which is wisdom. Others said, how can this man that is a sinner do such a miracle? And see, some people look at your life, and even though you are pressing for the mark and God is not through with you and you're under construction and, yes, you have weakness and, yes, you make mistakes, sometimes people look at you and say, you don't have no power. There's certain things you shouldn't be doing. But you see, if you really called by God, it's not about who you are, what you did, or where you've been. It's all about God using your story for his glory. Come on now. It's not predicated on who you are. If you look in the Bible, God used all people from all walks of life. Matthews was a tax collector. You know, he was doing wrong constantly. And God even knew that Judas was a thief. But he still brought him in the fold. Because even his story about not doing right can manifest and give God glory. And there was division among them. They said that the blind, they asked the blind man again, "What said thou of him that he has opened thy eyes?" He said, "He's a prophet." Now that was faith. That man came up with that. Jesus did what he had to do, and he kept it moving. That's why he wasn't still there. The man was asked where he was, and he said, "I know not." Sometimes you do something for someone, you want the whole world to know it. You stay, you wait, you wish, and you hope to receive the praise and glory which only belongs to God. Then, they then get the Pharisees, who should be able to share some light on the matter. They wanted to know when, how, and why it happened. And it happened on the Sabbath day, which meant that it was a sin. And if you're a sinner, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? You see, the blind man was asked, "What can you say about him?" I guess the man said, "He must be a prophet. Y'all keep asking me this over and over again. I was blind, I see now. Where he at, I don't know. Why he did it, I don't know. And I believe he must be a prophet." And if we look at 18 through the 23rd, "But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received the sight. And they asked him, saying, 'Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then does he see now?' His parents answered and said, 'We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we know not. Or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself.'" What this telling you, sometimes we got to stop answering questions for our children. We have to sometimes let them, you know, do the talking for themselves and even do some of the work for themselves, because sometimes we would only hinder them. It's not necessarily this case. They wanted, you know, them to ask him, and we'll see why. "These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed already that if the man did not confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. If the man did not confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore," said his parents, "he is of age," and asked him. You see, the man didn't say he was Jesus. He said he was a prophet. And that satisfied them only for a minute, but they wanted him to confess that he was Jesus. They were trying to discredit the works that Jesus had done. They wanted to prove that this was not possible. The parents proved that it was their son, and he now sees. They did not say who did it, how he did it, but that it was done. They say and ask him, "He's of age, speak for himself." So if we look at 24 to 34, "Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, 'Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner.'" They saying, you know, "You don't speak good of this man. Give God the praise." They start believing now that he can see. So they wanted him to denounce the man and give the praise unto God. "He answered and said," watch this, and that's how we have to be bold and confident in what we know that God has done for us. "He said, 'Whether he is a sinner or not, I know not. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, I now see.' Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thy eyes?' He answered them, 'I told you already, and ye hear did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? If I said it again, will you hear it? Will you also be his disciples? Asking that to the Pharisees. He had them messed up then. They then reviled him and said, thou art his disciples, but we are Moses' disciples. That means we go by the teaching of Moses, which was the law, which anybody knows that was just the beginning, and God used that until the new thing of grace came through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But they were still dealing in the law of Moses, so they couldn't receive the grace. The man answered and said unto them, why hence then is this marvelous thing that you know not from where he came, and yet he has opened your eyes? Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if a man be a worshiper of God and do his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that a man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? They saying, you know, all since the beginning of the world to this happened right now, we ain't never heard it. But you see, a lot of things is going to happen that never happened, that God's going to reveal in his own given time. If something happened and it never happened before and it's so marvelous or so tragic, whatever it is, you have to give God praise in a situation, and you got to realize he's control and he does what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants. You see, if this man was not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin. Do it, thou teachest us. They're telling him. The man gave him the facts. But you see, they won't make it with the, that's what people do. You could give people the facts, but they want to make it into what they want to make it into. He gave them the facts. And now he's making sense, and they might be pondering it on in their mind, but they ain't going to outright say it. But they said, now you want to teach us? And they still cast him out of the synagogue. They were interrogating him like an attorney doing court today. They asked him the same questions over and over again to try to get him to deny his statement. He stated he did not know how or why he was healed. And all of us don't know how and why we were healed, because we'll never be good enough. We'll never do good enough for all that God is doing to us and for us. But he knew that his life had been miraculously changed. He received natural sight and spiritual light. As Jesus said, he is the light of the world. We don't know how. We don't know all the answers to all the questions. And you don't need to know all the answers to all of the questions in order to share Christ with others. Just tell them what he has done, is doing, and promised to do for you. Nobody have excuse that I didn't know the word of God. I don't know enough. Tell him what he did for you. God is good. God is good all the time. He woke me up this morning. So everybody got something they can say if you're a Christian. Because plenty of times the sinners say more than a Christian do. And no, they don't even believe. Even Satan knows the scriptures. Then trust that God will use your story, which is your testimony, for his glory, helping others to believe. He was tested by the authorities, but he held on to the confession of his newfound faith. Now, this man had just got faith and believed in Jesus Christ, and yet it was very new. He was a babe, but yet he held on to the confession of his faith. And many of us has been walking with Jesus for years and years and years, and we buckle, we fall, we pass out, we cry, we lay down. But hold on to your confession of your faith is what gets you from point A to point B. Remember, no one can take away the eternal life that Jesus has given you. Walk through them battles. Walk through them trials. Walk through them tribulations. Walk through them adversities. holding on to the confession of your faith is never what you go through. It's who you go through it with. Hallelujah. And as I close, this man gained not only physical sight, but also spiritual insight. And he recognized Jesus as a prophet. His being born blind was a part of God's master plan to reveal his power, his control, and an appointed time for his glory. This should be a real good thing for us, because you see, as we see, this man was born blind. You know, sometimes a child is born with a short leg. You got to remember, God is in control. Now watch this. God said in his word, no matter what state you're in, you still trust him, you still hold on. You may not understand it. You know, in plenty of things, they say, you know, when a person is when a person, you know, is making over the fact that they don't have no shoes, they say, keep walking and you'll see a man with no feet. You know, everything doesn't happen to everybody. And why? Because God designed it that way. You know, some of us are short, some of us are tall, some have good hair, some have hair that people think is not so good, have blue eyes, brown eyes, because God decided to make each and every one of us unique. And even a person with a special defect is unique. Come on now. God knew what he was doing, and God evidently liked variety. The man was born blind. He ain't had nothing to do with it, and he had been blind all his life up until the time he met the man from Galilee. Hallelujah. So you take your lickings and you keep on ticking and you hold on to the confession of your faith and you allow your stories to give God glory. Yes, I was this or that, but now I've been changed. And what I was my story, but now what I am is God's glory. No pain, no gain. And then you got to believe that God's going to work it out together for the good if you love him. So you have to ask yourself, do you love him? Because we can't repay him. So all we could do is love on him. And how we show love towards God? By being obedient. By growing in grace and the knowledge of him. And deciding to take on the image of his son. Our roadmap. And that's the lesson for tonight. I pray that you got an insight. And I took and I used all of these scriptures, 1 through 34, and I read through them, because if you read it with an open eye, you know, people be saying, I don't understand it, and I don't know what this means, but it was very clear. And some of the writings is like that, and some of them, you know, you got to think a little bit, but just take your time and you read it and you see what God's saying, and it becomes clearer and clearer as the day is long. That's our lesson for tonight. If anybody would have a comment, you could press the one button on your phone. And if anybody would like to pray or have a prayer request, the guy that was listening with us for 2 years, his name was Warren Terrence, and he died on last Friday. And he was in the newspaper today in Old Bits, but, you know, they didn't have a service or anything. They say private interment. But I want you to pray for his family. And he's the one that asked us to pray for his brother. How you like that? His brother is here, and he's dead. Also, I'm asking that you pray for the family of Elaine Smith, her sister Ruth Hollingworth asks for prayer for the family. We have to keep praying one for another. If anybody have a prayer request, you could press the one button and I'll open your phone. If anybody would like to pray, you could press the one button and I'll open up the line so that you could speak. But I pray that the lesson that went forth tonight tell you that some things it's just going to be. So you need to stop sitting down and worrying about the wrong things. If it's out of your control, there's nothing you can do. And if you take time and pray the prayer of serenity, it will get you through. God, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Get serenity with the things you can't change. Ask God for courage to change the things that you can. But you got to use wisdom to know the difference. And at this time, if no one have any comments, concerns, anybody have a special topic or scripture you want to hear a lesson being taught on, you can press the one button. I'll take it, and we'll explore that word on next week. So if that's it for the program tonight, I pray that you were blessed, because I was blessed, and I thank God. You know, I learned along the way that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And, you know, the Bible also say that we should share the word of God. You know, go ye therefore into all nations preaching and teaching. And God say each one of us is responsible to share something with someone. You know, he put all those emphasis because that's our work while we're here in the vineyard. That's our work in the kingdom to bring more in, because it's God's desire that all sorts of men be saved. And one day the Spirit told me, you know, Diane, you always talking about God, and I realized that I could hear myself talk. So every time I be speaking about God and doing these Bible study, I am increasing my faith, because I could hear myself. Because if you got word all in you and you don't share it, it can't be multiplied. Come on now. God don't give you word for you not to share. And you keep calling up here on Wednesday. I just want to let you know, because you're being set up. And if you don't know, you're only being taught that you may teach. And it is now 9:28, and I'm going to do the closing prayer and benediction. Dear Heavenly Father, precious God, Lord, I thank you for your word that went forth on tonight. Holy Spirit, I thank you because you was truly in the midst. Holy Spirit, I thank you because you said your word won't return void. I thank you, Holy Ghost, because I come on Wednesday after Wednesday realizing that I can only give information, and it is by your grace and mercy that you give illumination as well as revelation. Heavenly Father, I pray that the people's ears was open and they truly heard what thus said the Lord. Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to lean and I'm going to depend on you. I'm going to try to hold on to the confession of my faith at all times, not sometimes when it's convenient. But Lord, I thank you. I thank you for allowing us to come together Wednesday after Wednesday. I thank you for your Son, and I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you for mercy. I thank you for grace. I thank you for being long-suffering with us, that you're a humble God and you're meek and you're lowly. Hallelujah. And that everyone that looks towards you or look for you, you say you will be found. Lord, I thank you that you're not man, because man will let you down every time. And I'm glad you're still in control. No matter what the situation or circumstance is, God, I can face tomorrow because of you. Hallelujah. I could take my lickings and keep on ticking because of you, God. I could look to the hills, which come at my help, because I realize that my help come from you. Lord, I love you, and I'm a lover of you, dear God. And I know you're a lover of my soul. Hallelujah. Lord, I don't know nobody else that loves my soul, that you sent your son. And after your son left, you allowed your spirit to just dwell in us. You know, dear God, circumcise my heart. Lord, you say it in Philippians 2 and 13, it is you that working in me to will and to do your good pleasures. Have your way with me, dear God, even in my weakness. Lord, I just love on you. And I thank you for allowing the people to come on Wednesday. Heavenly Father, all of this I ask in Jesus' name for all of our sakes. And I have to say thank God, thank the Son, and thank you, Holy Ghost. Amen. And that's it for tonight. No questions or concern. If the Lord say the same, next Wednesday, we'll meet back again. I just want y'all to know I love each and every one of you. Some of you I don't even know, but God knows, and he knows I love you. Because we explore the word of God together, we come together as the body of Christ, looking towards the knowledge of God. And God blesses it, and he ordains it. And for that, I can say thank you. So until next Wednesday, we're going to go ahead and end tonight. I want you to always remember that God loves you, and so do I. Y'all be blessed. Meditate on the word, be prayerful, and trust God. Good night.